This is WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. Today is Valentine's Day, the multi-billion-dollar holiday fueled by flowers and tons of candy. Since 1902, some of the most iconic sweets have been those little heart-shaped candies called sweethearts. Until 2 years ago, they were produced here by Necco in Revere. But the Boston area's connection to Valentine's candy goes beyond those little chalky, edible love messages. To find out more, WBUR's Andrea Shea takes us on a Valentine's Day history tour with an expert.
Susan Benjamin knows her sweets. She owns the True Treats Historic Candy Company and shop in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia.
We research the history of candy and its role in shaping North America, going way back to the Native American sugars and working our way all the way through the Cold War era.
Benjamin's also a candy author and Massachusetts native. She comes back to New England every winter to get period-accurate chocolates for Valentine's Day. When asked, Benjamin was totally game to travel through time for a candy history tour of Boston starting in the 1700s.
Valentine's Day candy actually is about love and about making love. And no better demonstration of that than the area around Faneuil Hall, because there you had these wonderful spices coming in. And some of the most popular at the time were ancient aphrodisiacs,
including nutmeg, cinnamon, and clove. Today, Faneuil Hall is known for tourists and T-shirts, but in the 18th century, exotic spices flowed from Salem's port to the bustling marketplace near Boston Harbor. Faneuil Hall is also notorious for auctioning slaves, many who were integral to the brutal sugar trade. From that bitter past, Benjamin says early sweets laid the foundation for Valentine's candy in Boston.
The seed, as they say, was planted. And sugar was, for those early colonists, it was something that you had to have. It's the backbone of our medicines.
Candy has origins in apothecaries, Benjamin says. Oliver Chase designed a machine at his Boston pharmacy to cut thin discs that became Necco wafers, the precursors to the Valentine's icon sweethearts. Then there's the chocolate. In 1764, the country's first chocolate mill opened in Dorchester.
Some of the chocolates that you see here in Quincy Market really are the chocolates you would have found during the 1800s and into the early 1900s. We have the nonpareils, the chocolate-covered almonds, the chocolate-covered peanuts. Oh, my gosh, people love those then. We have the dark chocolate-covered ginger.
Candy butchers, as they were called, sold cheap sweets to working-class lovers. Rich truffles made in the French fashion became the gift of well-to-do suitors. Marketing drove demand for increasingly amorous presentations, including one we still find on drugstore shelves today.
The heart-shaped box started in 1861 in England with the Cadburys and morphed into the many different iterations here,
including the fanciful hearts from the box chocolate giant Schraff's in nearby Charlestown that were festooned with flowers and satin ribbons.
But the real essence of Valentine's Day per se means that we have to leave Faneuil Hall and we have to head out to Cambridge. This is very cool because not only are we taking a trip from Boston into Cambridge, but we're also following the timeline of candy development.
We pass biotech companies housed in glass and steel, but Benjamin says in the mid-1900s, more than 60 brick factories cranked out 6 million pounds of candy a year. That heyday earned Main Street a nickname, Confectioner's Row. Today, only one candy company remains.
Cambridge Brands is so discreet you wouldn't notice it. And inside, this big world reflecting the old world of candy making here in Cambridge.
I've passed this whitish-gray exterior for years, not knowing it's owned by Tootsie Roll Industries. There's a tiny sign out front, and the company still makes the Charleston Chew, Sugar Babies, and since 1928, the Junior Mint.
And to this very day, they're pumping up millions and millions every week, and some of them the last holding to Boston as Valentine's Central, they have the Junior Mint shaped in a heart.
As a kid, Benjamin, who's 61, inhaled the smells of mint and chocolate wafting through the streets. So, of course, we get out of the car.
Yep. Smell it? The downwind, right here.
Benjamin says the same intoxicating aromas swirled around the homes near Confectioners Row where immigrants, including her great-grandparents, made their new lives. Benjamin believes the sweet air delivered feelings of love, possibility, and privilege.
Which really is what we find when we open a red box of chocolates. It's about having something better than our daily lives and just loving this smell. It was so emotional.
And she says, it still is. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.